So we've got sort of some general questions,
yeah.
So but I would like this to run like a conversation.
Fab.
So please feel free if you know you can't understand my lovely accent or Johan's terrible one to come in and ask questions. But I think just to get the ball rolling, what did you actually expect to get out of the programme?
So I think with it being a senior leaders thing, it was I expected to work with my peers, with people working at the same level, possibly higher, and about the sort of the mixing of minds of people's ideas and learning from other people as well and from their experiences. You know, when people ask, in particular, I'm an ops manager, have been an ops manager for 100 years, it feels like, and the problems are the same in any hospital that we work in, and it's how what you've learned along the way that can help others, but what they have as well that can they can impart on you. So I think from the course, I wanted it to give me more structure, whereas I was just explaining to Johan, I was on beds on Tuesday, it was an absolute nightmare, but people are running around like headless chickens because there's no communication. I think one thing I wanted to learn was how to communicate my message successfully and easily enough for people to understand, you know, because sometimes we talk in hospital talk and we know what we're saying and we know what we mean, but it doesn't get translated down or up. So just to make sure we've got the right message and we're communicating at the right level. So I think that's what I wanted to be able to be given the tools. And I think it was almost like a counselling session in some of them where you know the answer, this is what you would do, you know, and it's actually, oh right, yeah, I do know how to do it, you know. Oh yeah, I did that last week, you know, and it's that sort of light bulb moment when we've all got it inside us, it's how does it get out? So I think from the course it was about how to become a better senior leader to help the wider team.
I love that term, mixing of minds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of really strikes a chord with me. What was it about the programme that helped that to happen?
So it was something, so we had, we often had classroom tasks or group tasks, and it was about, and you were often with people that you had not met. I was relatively new to the trust when I started. I'd not met many people, but as you can gather, I like to gab. But it was getting around with different people from different care groups in the trust about their experiences and that the mixing of minds again, a kind of, well, we would have done it this way, and it's not to say that their way was right or our way, or that my way was wrong. It was about the understand that the it felt as if there was a level playing field when we went in. So we were all equals, all from different parts of the trust, and some consultants, some managers, and it was nice to see how you could interact and pull bits of information from each other.
And would you say that's a different way of working?
Absolutely. You know, if you could give you bullet points of things that you've learned, that would be certainly up there on my top 10 list of that. You like to think that you're an understanding person and you've got time to listen to people. Sometimes you hear but you don't listen, or you listen but you don't hear. And I think this course gave me time to take time to listen and hear. So, and it's something that I have learnt, and I have used it since, you know, since the course. So it's been good.
Okay, that's really interesting. Have you got any examples of perhaps how you've used that different way of working?
So we did a piece of work where we had to discuss people's attitudes. We've always done this, and it's never going to work. And why are we trying to change? And it was, you know, when we've all heard those conversations, and we've all had those things said to us across the patch. I think for me, it was nice to see how other people reacted. And it's the rolling of the eyes. Oh God, it's them again. And you do get the mood hoovers in a room. You absolutely do. But from working with my colleagues on the course, it was nice how they tackled it. Well, I wouldn't say that. I would go in and say, well, have you tried it this way? Let's try it for a week and let's come back. And, you know, and it's, I think it was a reminder of putting timescales and things, because sometimes we're so focused on the now, we forget about the future or what the end goal is. And I think it was nice to hear how they, one thing that I learnt is to actually put a tangible time frame on something. So, okay, well, it's not going to work. Let's try it this way and we'll come back, or I'll follow you, I'll shadow you, you know, and it was that kind of just picking up bits of just tips to help you, I think, just to navigate your way through this mire. it's about
complexity.
Complexity, and I think I was asked recently, you know, following this course, I've been given a promotion in another care group.
Congratulations.
I actually used one of the phrases at my presentation. And somebody said to me, are you a manager or a leader? And I thought, oh, God, what a question. And I actually said, what a ridiculous question. And I said, well, by and large, people don't need managing. They need to see a leader who can do the do. But then it was put back to me and said, what would you do if somebody was negative, somebody was, you know, literally saying, I'm not going to do it, or we've done it and it's never worked. But then, you know, and you use those prompts, you say, well, you know, I'd ask them, have they got the right tools physically and, you know, mentally to do them? Do they need extra help? Do they need support? And then it would go down the lines of, you know, performance management or anything. But you would hope that with your guidance that you could pull them through and come the other way. But I think one of the things that I learned that resonates with me, and I've used it both at work and at home, we had one of the sessions, and I can't even remember later, it's in my notes, about touching the tiller. Her husband was a CEO of a company, and he used to come home from work, and she'd say, I was working, he'd say, all I've done is touch the tiller. She'd go, what do you mean, touch the tiller? So then she explained the analogy of touching. And that's, I use that in my performance updates to my team. I said to them, look, I've given you the tools to do the job. We have now achieved 92% compliance, something that ophthalmology has never done. And they're all going, well, it's down to you, Nika, you know, but it's not, all I've done is touch the tiller. I've given you the tools, I've given you the guidance, and I'm there with you, but I'm just making sure we're just keeping on track. And, you know, I try and use it with the kids. I touch the tiller, but I do want to hit them over the head with the tiller occasionally.
I think we all know that. Yeah.
So if you can compare and contrast, Nika, in terms of your leadership approach and style, did it change in any way after completion of the program?
I think it made me more aware of myself, of how I come across, of how I interact with my team, my direct team, and the wider team of the trust as well. I think it made me more aware, because before you're just in your little, like I say, you're in your little bubble and you're just going along with your day to day, but I think this made me more, made me value myself, I think, a bit more of where I fit into the picture as well. Because as much as we have manager in our title, it doesn't mean that we're not a person as well at the end of it. So it makes you value yourself, I think. And that's what I think. It values yourself and your importance in it as well. You know, good or bad, you know, it's about how we can pull each other along, really.
To what extent have you been able to sustain that mixing of minds? So the people have been on the course, have you been able to keep in touch with them in any way? Or
so
recreate that with other groups maybe?
Yeah, so I've started meeting my new team and utilising some of the skills that I've had there. And one of the people that in the new care group that I'm working in has done the course, wasn't on my actual course, but has done it, you know, and I think the mixing of the minds, not necessarily with people on the course, because I don't see them on a day-to-day basis, but when you do see them, go, oh yeah, how are you doing, you know, and it was like, have you done your presentation, have you done your stuff, you know, mine's in, David's got mine, you know, blah blah blah. But you know, and it's that sort of, but even that is kind of, we're pulling each other along, we're helping each other. have you started it yet? Oh, I've done six, I've got four more to do, you know, and it's that type of thing, you know. And what did you put for such and such, you know? So every time you run into somebody, there is that continuation of that. It is a friendship group.
Yeah.
And I think you need friends in high places. You need friends who are going through the same things as you, and I think that definitely has helped.
So thinking about the people you manage now, sorry, Johan, have you transferred any of that into how you might look at them and created that sort of network for them in a way?
So I've got somebody who's in a seconded post at the moment working for me, and I've explained about this course. I think it's Pitched Too High for her. She's going to do some stuff, and I said to her, if you do get the opportunity, it absolutely is the right thing to do, because it, going back to self again, if we're this rudderless ship, we're just going to keep going round and round, and people do look at you. They look at you for two things: one, to blame you if it goes wrong, and two, for that guidance of what do we do here, and it. You don't say, well, you know the answer. What would you do? You know, because sometimes they ask you, well, what would you have done in that situation? So it's nice to share your experiences and share your way of thinking of how you, well, I would have tried this. And some people go, oh, God, why didn't I think about that? But sometimes, again, we're just focused on the now, and we don't think of sending that email. What's that going to do? It's going to set her fine. Let's think about how we can manage the message better. So the team, my team that I directly manage, and the team under them, are all benefiting from what I've learned. I hope, and I hope they stay the same way. I hope they stay the same focus as well, because it's important.
Let's go one step back. So you talked about your team and the team below them. How many people are you responsible for?
So I've got eight that I directly line manage, and then there's, I'd say, about 50 in different sort of groups that are directly managed by the people that I manage. Possibly a bit more, really, because include outpatient clerks as well. So, yeah, it's probably a bigger group underneath the group that I directly manage.
So you talked about the experiences on an individual level, but if you think about what wicked problems that this program help you to solve?
Oh God! Right. Okay. I'm just trying to think. Let me think about that one. So I suppose. I think if you broke it down, it probably helped in any of the issues I've had at work. And I guess, let's just turn this phone off. And I guess at home as well, I think you can't be in this role half-cocked. You've got to come in all guns blazing, and not every day are you able to come in at all guns blazing, because you've got there's issues at home or there's issues elsewhere. Trying to get to work sometimes through the Liverpool tunnel is a nightmare. But anyway, you know, it's almost that deep breathing thing, you know, sort of, okay, so before you react or respond in a negative way or in a way that, like I said before, is gonna upset people. And really, you know, we all wanna do that temper tantrum. We all wanna do that, oh, you're cheeky. You know, but you don't, and I think, in previous lives I have done that. It's given me time to reflect on what the outcome of my actions is going to be, and I never had that before. I never had that, and that might just be me. Other people might have this opportunity to reflect, and I use reflection more now than I have ever done. You know, like I say, we've got an issue in theatres at the moment. We've had to stop some treatment in theatres for various reasons. We've had to get estates involved. And it's literally a full NDT. And because I've been able to take the lead, and so we're not all going doing our own things, people actually know what is happening next, the next stage. And my reflection on that, you know, it's successful, we're back up and running, all four theatres are running, but during all this furore that was happening in the theatres, there were staff involved in the middle, and I had to remember that the staff, whatever they saw in my face or in my actions, could mar how the rest of their day or week went. So I had to not have the positive face, because it was an issue, and you know, it did involve patients' care, but not to go in and go, oh, what the bloody hell's happening? You know, I've been able to manage myself to help manage the staff in theatres, because they're looking at you as a leader. They're looking.
Sorry,
at you.
Was this ANTT, Trey?
No.
Sorry.
I've been able to manage my reactions and my demeanour more in theatres, whereas before I've gone and gone, right, here we go, right, okay, so we'll stop that, we'll do this, we'll do that, and then we talk in little silos, and that's there's mixed messages then.
Yeah.
So I've been more, the reflection, I think, it's taught me how to reflect more, and that's a good thing, because it's a learning thing, isn't it? It's a two-way thing. What could I have done better? And what was the issue? What happened? What could I have done better? What have I learned from it?
Do you keep a reflective diary at all?
So I have been keeping a reflective diary, to be fair. My daughter's just finished her biomedical science degree, and she was keeping a reflective diary. So I went, oh, that's a really good idea. So I asked her, what does she
record,
and what does she get from it?
Yeah.
And it's quite a lot. It's good. Yeah. I quite like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Does your team keep a reflective diary? No. Do you just do anything as a team?
So we do a catch-up. So I meet with two of the big parts of the team. So the theatre ones after this meeting, and then on a Wednesday is our activity and performance, which is the one, if I'm perfectly honest, that the trust is focused on.
Right.
Because it's about numbers, it's about performance, how do we do?
Yeah.
But each session that I do with them, I have that meeting on a Wednesday.
Mm.
We go through a period, we go through a stage of the beginning of the meeting. What meetings have I been to that directly affect you?
Yeah.
And sort of share that information where I can. And then the round table after the meeting. So can we go around the table just to ask, are there any issues in your area? Is there anything you want to bring up that we haven't discussed, you know? But I think, I don't know about any reflection other than...
The process,
yeah.
Yeah,
I think it is a good thing. But I think to try and humanise, so I do say to the team, so each week we've been pushing to get this 92% compliance. And we've been at 89%, 90%, 90%.
Okay.
Okay, team, we've done really well. You've smashed the target, but I am going to ask you for some more. I know it sounds cruel, but we need to be.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be great? I would then put the patient, we're here for the patient, to put the patient at the centre of all our decisions. So wouldn't it be great if you got referred in, or your mum or a relative, and you could actually offer them treatment within 18 weeks? How fantastic would that be? So let's get them to clinic at 8 weeks.
Right.
It gives us 10 weeks to plan the treatment, you know, and it's that, and we're fine. Well, we're hanging on by our skin of our teeth, but we are there, and it's good, and it's not about rewards, physical rewards, but it's, you know, a box of chocolates, you know, something like that. So each month when we have, so I'd say to them, we'd have a weekly meeting, but at the end of the month I want to be at 80% or 82%. So there'd be a little, you know, there'd be biscuits, and you know, and then I'd have the joke, well, you're not getting it because you were off at the end of the month again, you know. And it's that time kind of to build the team spirit, because it's got to be a team thing. It's not just one person doing this.
So you know, I was going to just probe on the 92% compliance, because that sounds pretty impressive to me. Has that changed over the period? I know we can't do direct cause and effect, but has that sort of changed, do you think, in any way? You leading that team,
so
has contributed to that.
So I think
improvement.
I'd have to say yes.
Yeah.
Because the reflection and the way I listen to the team and I hear. So you know, in the summer there was no one around because everyone was on holiday.
Right.
But there's still a job to do.
Right.
So at the end of August, I want to be 91%. You know, and explain why if we're at 91%, then we've only got 1%. So it's only 30 patients we've got to get in that are breached, you know, and make it more tangible. Whereas when I first started, we had something like, we had 1,198 breaches over 92, over 18 weeks. We were at 76%. So this has definitely helped me manage the process, to manage the people, to get through to compliance.
And you think instrumental in that has been this reflective?
It's definitely been this
approach.
It's definitely been that. I absolutely. I know I have a general manager, David, that comes to some of our A&P sessions, but I lead on operations. So it's definitely been how the team's been guided through this, touching that tiller, and how it's been guided through this process. And it's, you know, that they even joke now. So where are you going? And I'm going to endoscopy. Oh well, look at their RTT, because it's on our dashboard. So I said, yeah, well, I'll be chasing you, you know, and they're going, oh, so what you're trying to do as well, if you're leaving somewhere, you don't want them to forget how good they've done as well. So this isn't me, guys. This is me just giving you the guidance. I've just enabled you to do it. Keep up the good work, you know, but endoscopy will be chasing them. We'll beat them.
Nico, if we reflect on the programme, you attended 11 days.
Yeah.
Across 11 months,
yeah.
It's quite a long time.
It is, yeah.
So if you have to identify the top five things that you took from this program, you talked about the level of self-awareness, the level of reflection.
Yeah.
What else, if you reflect on all the sessions?
Definitely the reflection, the self-awareness, the listening to what's being said. Not necessarily what the words, but how it's being said as well. To hear the intonation, because sometimes you don't, because we are focused on trying to get through this next hurdle, and we forget. And I think there was a one thing where we're focused on, I can't remember what the analogy was, we're focused on the urgent and not
the important strategy,
and it's the important stuff will help drive the urgent stuff, and I think that I think the NHS is a firefighting organisation, and we come in each day, there's another problem, and it's not insurmountable. So I think listening to my peers and my friends on the course, it's that every problem that's happening, it's not a brand new problem. It has happened, you know, it's that circle of life, it will come around again, but now I've got the ability to reflect, I can think, well, okay, so last time it happened we did this, and this was the outcome, so let's see if this will work again, or won't it? Do you have to change tack? Do you have to go back to the drawing board and start all over again? But equally, one of the big things that I've learnt is our groups. So we did that wheel diagram of where we are, so what we do directly affects the people around us, which directly affects the people, you know, and it's that chain of command almost of how we I'm trying to use an analogy. So it's the pebble in the water, and you throw that pebble in the water and it's all the ripples. But as long as the pebble's been thrown in the right way, the ripples can be positive and can be bloody negative, and more often than not they are, but we learn from that and we try and throw it in a different place again.
So if you have to do this all over again, what will you change in the program?
So I listened to the people doing the masters, and I understood the operational issues of the hospital that do take precedence, but they weren't able to attend some of the courses, some of their sessions. And I think the way our sessions were pitched at one a month was right, because operationally, although you were out of the building, you were still on emails because you can't hide from the sodding things. But you were it gave you enough time, and I think the 3-day masters, I think that if they're looking at leaders, I think that did have an effect on not only the people doing the course, but also on their places where they were. So I think, so where ours was pitched at 11 days over 11 months, I think that was right. I think that we weren't missed that much, I don't think. And we still did work at uni when we shouldn't have been doing. We were still answering emails, we were still you know, sorting problems out. But it still gave it, it wasn't a chunk of time out that you were missed too much.
So in terms of content then, what do you think is missing from the program?
So I think one of the things that, I've got a financial background before I joined the NHS, and I was interested in the financial side. I think I would have liked to have got a bit more understanding of the finances, or listening to what other people said. They didn't, albeit that we know that, that people, you know, the money isn't ours, it's a public purse, and it has to go through all these scrutiny things. I think I think that the HR and the finance part of it could have been a bit more in depth, because we had somebody from HR come in who was lovely. I can't remember her name. She was new.
Vicky.
So, and they were explaining, everyone's that's got anything to do with NHS knows recruitment takes an age, and I think it was trying to get a better understanding, and although she agreed that it did take a long time and there were processes and things, we still didn't learn anything from it. There was nothing, I didn't feel as if I learned anything new from it, and likewise with the finances. I knew it had to go through scrutiny. I knew it. And there's only so much they can tell you as well in that, you know, couple of hours slot. But I think to learn a bit more about the finances, how, you know, almost like business cases, you know, where, what happens when we write a business case? Who does it go to? What's the SOP of a business case?
Okay.
You know, we write a business case, which are fundamental to bringing in change, and you've got to put your argument across. But what's the SOP of a business case from finance? And even if you're asking for new for extra staff, you know, what is that? That so a bit more. That's the only thing that I. But I still enjoyed them. You know, they were good sessions, but it just to get a bit more from them, I think, would have been good.
Just go back. Remember, you completed a social network analysis questionnaire.
Yeah.
Where we ask you to take a look at who you communicate with, where you work, etc. And one of the outcomes of that session was to develop strategies to improve your network.
Yeah.
Did you consciously develop specific strategies to get in contact with people?
So I think the people on the course, because there was no one else from ophthalmology there, it absolutely did, because now people, they know you, as this got me one from the course, but they know you. but it's that shared experience. So, you know, would I have spoken to anybody else from risk? Possibly not. You know, would I have spoken to somebody else from main theatres? Possibly not. You know, and it's that, you know, Ali Marks now is just a great friend. You know, I would never have got that. You know, and we go to some meetings now, and it's that acknowledgement of the shared experience. I think, you know, at forums that you go to, you know, you might go to the boardroom for a meeting, and it's that knowing nod around the table. You know, it's almost like you're in this secret club. You know, it is, but it's good, because it's that shared experience that we've all gone through it. We've all, you know, we walk back to the car and we say, well, I enjoyed that. Yeah, that was good. And what, you know, again, going back to reflection, what can I do to make me a better person to help my teams?
It seems to have created, if I'm hearing right, sort of like a social capital that might not have existed.
I definitely wouldn't have.
Without that shared experience.
Without a shout. I mean, I'll talk to anyone.
Yeah.
But when people are busy in their day-to-day, they don't often give you the time.
Yeah.
Not because they're being rude, you know, and I'm guilty of it as well, because you're just busy.
Yeah.
But now you've got that shared experience, that shared learning, and that shared time together.
Yeah.
And there isn't a network there now that would never have existed. And if I go back now and redid that analysis of my network, it would be far wider, but far more varied as well. So it wouldn't be anybody just in my care group. It would be more around the trust, which is a positive thing.
Yeah.
They might think, oh, bloody hell, there's Nika, but it is a positive thing.
Yeah. No, I love your metaphors. I absolutely love your metaphors. And, you know, if we can just come back to your circle of life metaphor.
Yeah.
So to what extent do you think that sort of increased social network has helped with this circle of life?
So, I think if there's an issue, if there's, I'm just trying to think of it. So if I needed to speak to Aaron Banks now, who was on my calls, we often sat together on tables. I know what he does now. I know Miguel, what his role is in the trust. They're not just people you see and go, oh, they work for the Royal. You know what they do. So if I need some advice on PEFs, you know, or on governance or on risk or on, I know who to go to rather than a faceless name on an email. But that makes the conversation easier, because sometimes when you speak to people, and that just because I was new when I started the course, but sometimes when you speak to people, these faceless emails, you have to almost explain yourself or introduce yourself, or but you don't have to do that because the ice has already been broken. So we're already on talking terms, on speaking terms. So I think that's good for building relationships. But then, you know, you say to you, it's across life, you know, what are we, 6 degrees of separation? We are all 6 people away from knowing everybody around the world, you know. And I think that in the trust, if we use the trust as the world, we are, you know, we all know something. You know, I've even walked down the corridor and my general manager has said, who's that? And I go, oh, that's such and such, or, you know, and it's nice. It's nice to actually know that, you know, rather. And everyone hates being the new girl. I hate it. It doesn't stop me looking for jobs, but but it's nice to be the new girl. But people know.
Very good.
If you were to say in a nutshell, so if I'll just give you a chance to reflect on this.
Okay.
So sort of a bit of a not quite a final soundbite, but you. Just take me a minute to reflect. If you were to say to somebody with regard to the programme, sort of saying, I think you should come in this programme because, and maybe perhaps think about this is how you would change, how the way your work might change, how the organisation might change. Can you think of something?
So you should do this programme because...
So maybe thinking about in what ways do you think somebody would change? If you're trying to sell them to it, it'll help you change. Is there anything you can think of that you'd say based on your experience of it?
You learn about yourself,
which
makes you a better leader,
and
you are more aware of the people around you. I think they're the two things. I'm more aware of my actions, my reactions, which does make you a better leader. It makes you a better leader.
And then if I was to be devil's advocate and say I'm your chief executive, but I could spend that on a new theatre. So why would I spend that in a new theatre and not in this course? What would you say to me?
Because in order to get your patients to your theatre, you need good leaders, you need good structure in place to make that journey as safe as possible, and as rewarding for the patient as possible. And if you can't, if you haven't got the right people along that pathway, it's going to be a bumpy road, and you're not going to necessarily get the best outcome for staff and patients. And it's your tax levy as well. We won't mention that. I think it's a people industry, the NHS, and it makes cream rises to the top is another analogy. Cream rises to the top, and I think if you've got the leaders with the right tools and skills, and you to be a good leader, you've got to be a people person, and if this gives you the skills, the tools, and the ability to build those social networks, it makes you a better person, makes you a better leader, and it will improve patient outcomes. You know, I don't like Richard Branson, but you know, a happy workforce. But people are generally. I don't know if you got to watch the BBC hospital.
Yeah.
So they came when literally the heavens had opened. There was water coming from the ceiling, from the floor. It was everywhere. But not one person there looked cheesed off. Not one person there thought, I've had enough, I'm going. And they may have done in the past, you know, after that, but they all got on with the job because there was the clear direction, the clear communication, and everyone pushing in the same direction. Because we are good leaders. And because and sometimes leaders are moaned at, you know, oh, sorry to vent, but I need to tell you this. And you have to say, well, no, it's okay. I've got crap going on here, but I'll ignore that for now. Yeah. I'm here for you because you're their you're the person that's coming to their crosshairs and they just want to come and talk to you and vent. And hoping that their ability to vent or to talk to you has left them free to do, enabled them to do their job. And then you go away and deal with whatever issues they've brought up. So I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not done this course. I wouldn't have given myself the mind space to take time for people.
You also seem to be talking about a particular type of leadership. And I love your metaphors. So how would you sort of describe that type of leadership?
Oh, God.
Because you've talked about, you know, throwing the stone in the right place, the ripples.
Yeah.
You've talked about social networkings. You've talked about the mixing of minds. So what sort of leadership?
Cranky leadership. No. You've got to be, you have to be. You can't be a dictator. You can't give orders and instructions. People don't, they follow instruction to a point. They don't like orders being barked at them. And I would hate to think that I've ever done that. And if I have, then, you know, I apologise down the line. But I think you've got to be the person that people can come to and look to for. You might not have the answers, but to have the ability to say, I don't know, but I will find out. Because it's okay not to know, but don't give them false hope. I think to be this type of leader that's with, in the centre of it all, you know, so albeit that they're looking at you and they're looking for guidance and direction, you're still with them, you're still there, you know, you don't mind pulling your sleeves up and getting dirty, you just want to be that person that's not afraid of hard work and understands and respects the hard work that's gone in. I think my type of leadership, describe mine as.
Feels like creating a sense of community.
But it is. It's like going back to our performance. It's not one person's done that. It's our community, our team has done that. And that's something that I think everybody needs to have a little bit of that in them.
You have to complete a portfolio.
Yeah.
You think there's a possibility that we can have access to your portfolio?
Has he not sent it on?
I only ask for authorisation that he's seen it. I don't have to get a copy of it.
Oh yeah, I can send you a portfolio.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll send it.
And as I said, it will be anonymised.
Yeah, that's fine.
If we put anything anywhere, we'll let you know what we're putting it.
No, honestly, I think it is. I hope other people are going to do this meet and greet, because I think,
see if you can encourage them.
But I do think it's paying it forward, isn't it? You know, we're all very grateful about picking up and going. Oh, it's a day out of the trust, or it's this. There's work to do for it, and I think to give some sort of comment back is very much you can do, isn't it?
I'm just falling over with your 92% compliance, and I didn't know 1% was 30 patients, and I'm ready to fall under.
Basically, we have
an awful lot.
We have roughly 3,000 patients waiting for treatment, so we need to. The NHS constitution is that 92% of your patients should start treatment 18 weeks of referral. And we had, when I started it, nearly 1,200 patients over 18 weeks. So it's just chipping away at it. But again, teams like pictures and graphs and things. So if you can show the trajectory, you can show that we're going up and the breaches are coming down. Yeah. And each one of those breaches is a person. Yeah. It's somebody's relative somewhere. Yeah. Let's get them in.
I love your quote as well. The NHS is a, need to put my glasses on so I can read my own writing. It's a people industry.
It is.
So leadership takes place in a specific context. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of time, but if you just can tell us, when did you start at the Royal? how long have you been in this job, and tell us a little bit about the culture of the section in Ringwood.
Okay, so I started here in May 2018, so just over a year, so I think it'll be 18 months by the time I start my new role. And I came from Liverpool Heart and Chest. I'm Deputy General Manager of St Paul's. I think St Paul's is I understand the history, is a hospital within a hospital.
Yes, yeah.
I think that's why our performance will help the trust's overall performance because of the volume of patients. Because I heard figures, we get 2/3 of the patients that come in the hospital come to St Paul's on a daily basis. And it's a busy unit. So we have a primary care, an A&E eye department as well, which we run. And I think I can't remember the rest of the question. So, but how long have I been here? What my job is?
And the culture.
Oh, culture. If I'm perfectly honest, St Paul's hasn't got a good rapport with the wider trust. I think St Paul's, using the whole St Paul's, think they're above the main trust. Am I right in saying that?
They've got a definite branding of their own, haven't they?
Yeah, and they have. They want us to wear the lanyard at St Paul, and I'm happy for that. It's yellow and black because sighted people or poor sighted people can. That's the colour they can see. Yeah. But I work for the NHS, so I'll wear the two. But I work for the NHS, and I'm proud to say I work for the NHS. Because it is a people insurance. We are all going to end up being a patient somewhere, and I would hope that somebody's going to look after me the way I would like. Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. You know, I think the culture of St Paul's, they don't think the trust's policies have anything to do with them. They try and write their own policies. Because when I first got there, we had no general manager, so I was working as general manager and everything, but that's fine. And it's a quick learning experience. But I noticed when I looked on our iDrive, which is where all our documents are, we had our own policies. We can't possibly have our own policies. So if I'm saying to the consultants, but we need to do this to the patients because that's trust policy, no, but we've got our own policy. But you can't have your own policy. We work in the trust, you know, and that's it. So trying to make it a more open and a more open care group has been difficult because of the consultants. It's a consultant-led service. The consultants still think they're special. But I'll give you another analogy. Somebody said to me once, not in this trust, what's the difference between God and a cardiac surgery? And I kept cardiac surgeon, and I thought, well, I don't know. And he said, God doesn't think he's a cardiac surgeon. And you can put that analogy to any of our surgeons, you know, and they do, they have this syndrome where they think they are above reproach and they don't need to talk to anyone.
Yeah, it's an interesting one then.
In terms of experience as a manager, when did you start in the role as a manager in the trust?
So I start when do I start my new role? Or
as a manager?
So it's about 10 years when I started on the managerial, it's probably about 10, 12 years. I worked over at Arrow Park from the Wirral, and I became a business support manager, and then I've just gone up in a month then. Quite varied.
Congratulations on the promotion.
Thank you. But no, it's down to the cause, isn't it? Mm. You know, it is down to the cause, because I wouldn't have the ability to reflect, because you've got to give a presentation, and I bloody hate giving presentations because I hate the sound of my voice. But it's the, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do that. You know, the confidence, to give me the confidence to be a good leader.
I really appreciate the fact that you've done this, because at the end of the last sessions, we were like, well, lots of people got out of the course. It was like, well, I like this, and I like that. I think we've never had as much information as you've just given us on one session. So that's brilliant. I really appreciate your time.
No, not at all. Thank you very much.
Is there anything you want to ask us at all? Or?
So I was interested in doing the MBA, and I have signed up to do it.
Excellent.
But the family life has fallen apart, so I don't know whether the new job and Jo Henshaw has said that she'd support me through it and everything, because she's going to be my new manager.
Yes.
But my dad's got terminal cancer, my sister's had a stroke, you know, and it's just think, oh, all your wheels fall off your wagon. So I don't know if it's the right time for me yet, but would hope that if I could do it next year. I might still be able to, I don't know.
Yes,
it would be interesting to do it.
And then you can do the two assignments, and the two assignments are aligned with the stuff that you've already completed.
Okay.
So it's more about integration and add a little bit more.
Okay.
So that's possible.
So you'd be able to go in part
ways through. Oh, all right, okay.
If you did those two assignments.
Yes. Okay, that's brilliant. Oh, I might have a little.
And providing the apprenticeship levy doesn't disappear overnight.
Well,
I don't think it will, do you?
I don't think so.
I think it's a bit.
Well, he's not going to do anything, is he? Yeah, Joris Bonson.
He can't afford
to,
can he?
Well, he can't. No, he's not going to do. I would have thought, certainly not for this year.
I wouldn't have thought.
So, God only knows what happened next year.
Just sort of keep your ears open, and if you think it's going to go, you'll know to go.
Madness, isn't it? Madness. The world's falling apart.
Well, circle of life, as you say. It's not necessarily new problems, just new people sometimes.
It is new people.
New people.
Thank you very much for
your
time.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Oh, and thanks for letting me record this.
No worries. Bye.
Bye.